What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 32 of the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. My name is Ryan. I am your host on this podcast. I bring you music reviews from a music lover. I would like to start today's episode with another quote about music. The quote is, "This will be our reply to violence, to make music more intensely, more beautifully, more devotedly than ever before." End of quote. And that's from Leonard Bernstein, the legendary composer, conductor, pianist, yada, yada, yada. So do with that what you will. Okay, so today I'm going to be reviewing new releases from Ash, Ray LaMontagne, TT, or Teresa Wayman from the band Warpaint, and also Photocrime. All of these albums were released on May 18th. Before I get into those, I'd just like to give you a couple of albums to check out if you feel so inclined that I'm not going to review in depth. The first one is from Burn the Priest, which is Lamb of God, the metal band Lamb of God. That was their original name. And they just released a cover album that's called Legion XX, on which they sort of re-adopted or reclaimed their former name specifically for that release. So yeah, Legion XX. It's a cover album, so check that one out. Pretty good. Also, there's a new record from Charles Watson, who is of the band Slow Club. That record is called Now That I'm a River. That's a good one you should check out. And lastly, there's a new album from the alternative band Post Data. The record is called Let's Be Wilderness. That's also a good one. You should check that out. So why don't we get into today's reviews? We'll start off with the new record from the band Ash, and it's a record called Islands. Alright, and that was a sample of the track Annabelle. Alright, so Northern Ireland's longtime sons of punk and alternative rock, Ash, return with the album Islands, which is their eighth studio album and their first new material since 2015's record Kablammo. Ash have been in the game for almost 30 years now. Pretty amazing. Now, as someone who discovered Ash through the soundtrack to the horror comedy film Shaun of the Dead, on which they had two songs, one being Meltdown and the other one, I believe, being their cover of Everybody's Happy Nowadays from the Buzzcocks. You know, so having discovered them through that soundtrack, you know, it's only in the last couple of years that I've really given their catalog as a band a good perusal. You know, they certainly seem to be one of those bands, you know, much like the Melvins, you know, the grunge band from Seattle, who have been, you know, around for 30 years or so. Ash have really stood the test of time, consistently producing quality albums while never really breaking the mainstream threshold that would make them a household name. So enter this new album, Islands, you know, which initially caught my attention because of its cover art, which depicts an inverted image of the Irish island, which is called Skellig Michael, which is a popular tourist destination. So, sadly, I didn't go there when I was in Ireland, and I'm kicking myself now. And it was also the setting for Luke Skywalker's remote hideaway in the two most recent Star Wars films, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. So, you know, kicking myself in the ass two times now. But anyway, the idea of an island, you know, as defined as an isolated piece of land, you know, with no direct contact with others, makes a lot of sense when applied to Ash's career. The band seemed perfectly content to occupy their own space, and you know, that's an admirable decision, especially since at one point this band faced bankruptcy and the possibility that they wouldn't be able to release their 2001 album, which was called Free All Angels. So something pretty unexpected happened when I first listened to Islands. It's very rare that I find an album's back half of songs to be stronger and more engaging than the first half, but that's exactly what happened with Islands. You know, from the melancholy opening track, True Story, to the sort of kitschy, profanity-laden track Buzzkill, which to me just feels beneath a band who have been playing for, you know, almost 30 years, to the catchy but, you know, insubstantial track Confessions in a Pool, you know, I became concerned early on about this record's ability to hold my attention. But, you know, after a few more sort of middle-of-the-road songs, one standout being the track Somersault, I arrived at this track called Did Your Love Burn Out, which really made my ears perk up. Oddly enough, you know, this song injects a great deal of energy into this album without really upping the tempo or changing the tempo at all. For me, this track represents, you know, the first time, aside from, you know, somewhat on the opening track, True Story, the first time that vocalist slash guitarist Tim Wheeler sounds as if he's really singing from his heart, and, you know, the dynamic of sort of wandering, but then like funky syncopated guitar riffs on the song definitely keep it interesting. And the following track, Silver Suit, is lifted up by a guitar solo that's devoid of flash, you know, and which ultimately serves that song perfectly. There's a ballad called It's a Trap that, you know, keeps the momentum that was created by Did Your Love Burn Out, you know, going forward with some really great buildups, while a track called Is It True sounds like, you know, a more inspired and exciting, you know, like sibling to that track Confessions in a Pool. And the closing track, which is called Incoming Waves, seems like a fitting coda to the record, especially after the opener, True Story. You know, while True Story lyrically paints a picture of, you know, the aftermath of a failed relationship and, you know, the inability of two folks to sort of see things eye to eye, Incoming Waves evokes images of, you know, moving past damage and hurt, you know, in order to try to salvage what can be salvaged from, you know, this type of, you know, personal sundering, if you will. So over the course of the record, Ash explore, you know, these lyrical and musical ups and downs, you know, to varying degrees of success, at times sounding fully invested emotionally and other times seeming a little detached. This leads to an uneven listening experience for me, and also to, you know, punk rock and alternative rock have, you know, they've moved far beyond the parameters that Islands, you know, functions within, you know, with artists like somebody like Will Toledo of Car Seat Headrest, showing just how far, you know, the envelope can be pushed in these genres while still sticking, you know, to the sort of foundations of the punk and alternative movements. You know, if Ash want to stay relevant, I think they have to, you know, be more exploratory in their sound. And I really hope they do, because I think they have a lot of talent, a lot of songwriting ability. So I gave the record Islands a rating of 7 out of 10. Okay, so moving on to the next record that I'd like to talk about today. It is the new album from Ray LaMontagne. The record is called Part of the Light. I won't fall like a paper man. 'Cause I'm told Okay, and that was a sample of the song Paper Man. Okay, so New Hampshire's Ray LaMontagne returns with Part of the Light, which is his seventh studio album, and the follow-up to the 2016 record Ouroboros, which was an expansive record, which was a neat trick since it still only clocked in at about 40 minutes, which is kind of typical for LaMontagne. And that album, you know, featured and was produced by Jim James, frontman for the band My Morning Jacket. Now, some fans and critics thought that Ouroboros sounded like a record that LaMontagne recorded after dropping acid. That sort of gives you some perspective on exactly how different, you know, a lot of people felt that record was from LaMontagne's, you know, earlier sort of folk and rock-based material. But this new record, Part of the Light, you know, as a handful of LaMontagne's previous albums was self-produced. I feel that Part of the Light represents a solid, you know, if not earth-shattering or revolutionary, marriage of LaMontagne's primary folk and rock personality and the experimentation, of Ouroboros. LaMontagne wears his influences on his sleeve for sure. You know, channeling, you know, Sgt. Pepper era John Lennon lyrically and vocally on the opening cut, which is called To the Sea, which balances organic campfire production centered around bongos and a bouncy acoustic guitar passage. You know, balances that against these ethereal, at times eerie vocals, which, you know, are endearing in their whimsy despite their occasional ghostliness. And the second track, Paper Man, which you heard a sample of, you know, ditches the whimsy for a very defiant statement of autonomy and refusal to fit into anyone's plan. In our politically polarized nation of today, it's not hard to imagine, you know, where LaMontagne is drawing some inspiration for this track. Though the lyrics are ambiguous enough to, you know, interpret in a myriad of ways, you know, free will being the immovable foundation of the message here. The musical approach to Paper Man is one that conjures both like Dark Side of the Moon era Pink Floyd and also the sort of soulful rock aesthetic of the band. LaMontagne makes his way then through the rest of the album, you know, balancing these two sides of his musical personality, you know, lamenting callousness and the worship of wealth, you know, on the title track, and sounding damn near angelic on this track that's called It's Always Been You. And he turns up the volume on a smoldering track called As Black as Blood is Blue, sounding close to manic, without ever pushing himself over the edge into melodrama. The song also features some surprisingly sinister-sounding guitar leads, which echo the oddness of the opening track, and that just ramps the energy way up. But then the action drops back down on the next track, which is called Such a Simple Thing, and the unusual structure of this record sort of becomes apparent here. As Black as Blood is Blue, you know, stands as a sort of centerpiece to the album, you know, the main event, if you will, or the climax. After all, you know, aside from Paper Man sort of rough around the edges choruses, there's no other track on the album that comes anywhere close to the sort of fireworks of As Black as Blood is Blue. But this track, Such a Simple Thing, it introduces some very welcome and soothing slide guitar to the mix on the album. And it sort of tricks a listener into thinking that the storm is over. But then LaMontagne gives forth another heavy standout track, a track called No Answer Arrives. You know, an insistent drum line, walls of distorted guitar, and some sort of insidious synth passages take a listener, you know, back out into the dark, giving LaMontagne one more chance to exercise some dark energy, you know, looking for answers in a world which yields few. And the closing track, which is called Goodbye Blue Sky, at 7 minutes, stands as LaMontagne's coda to an interesting, if odd, and somewhat uneven album, bringing together all of the record's various elements and moods brilliantly and organically, which is quite impressive given the strong shifts in mood that this album undergoes. I'm glad that LaMontagne is continuing to experiment with sound and, you know, travel unconventional roads, even if this album isn't structured or sequenced in the most effective manner. I'd much rather hear someone branch out than just rest on their laurels and churn out, you know, cookie cutter records. After presenting listeners with two interesting records in Ouroboros and now Part of the Light, I predict that LaMontagne will probably hit a grand slam his next time around on his next record. So I guess you guys can hold me to that. So I gave the record Part of the Light a rating of 7.5 out of 10. Okay, so moving on to the next record I would like to talk about today. It is the new record from Teresa Wayman of the band Warpaint, and her moniker is TT, and the record is called Love Laws. And that was a sample of the song I've Been Fine. So, Teresa Wayman, a multi-instrumentalist and part of the creative nucleus behind the California alternative rock band Warpaint, presents her first solo outing, an album called Love Laws. Now, in my experience, the majority of, you know, quote-unquote solo outings typically fall into one of two categories. I'm not saying they're the only categories, but typically they seem to fall into one of these two. You know, either the record is very much outside the sphere of the artist's, you know, day job band. For example, many of Faith No More vocalist Mike Patton's side projects, or a solo record falls safely inside that sphere, you know, with little offshoots of individuality that hint at other territory that, you know, the artist wishes to explore. Something like the Trent Reznor's side project, How to Destroy Angels, comes to mind. So, Wayman's record doesn't quite land in either one of those categories, thankfully, occupying a space that without a doubt echoes certain elements of Warpaint without sounding like a half-formed appendage. Wow, it's a really disturbing analogy. You know, the psych rock of Warpaint is in here, and the dream pop of Warpaint is in there. You know, Warpaint have been very successful conjuring that sort of style. But what makes Love Laws interesting is how far Wayman is willing to go, you know, to push these elements. The lead-off single of the record, I've Been Fine, which you heard a sample of, you know, spins some pretty eerie guitar and synths, mixed with Wayman's, you know, plaintive vocals into some spooky territory. You know, it's more of a surreal, slightly sinister dream than, you know, your typical Warpaint song. And then the 6-minute track Love Leaks kicks off with some, it sounds like distorted accordion to me, and it segues into a somewhat sultry exploration of Wayman's penchant for synths and electronics and drum loops. That manages to change its form slightly a few times while still hanging together beautifully and coming to a satisfying crescendo. Now, evidence of the self-admitted influence of hip-hop on Warpaint's tunes comes through on this album as well, especially on a track called The Dream, which has a musical backdrop that to me sounds like a collision between dream pop and then the production of, you know, someone like Havoc from Mobb Deep or some of the RZA's production for the Wu-Tang Clan. That brings me to one of the album's greatest strengths, which is its ability to sound danceable so often, you know, amid its murkiness. The opening track, which is called Mickey, I think that's how it's pronounced. It's M-Y-K-K-I, so it's Mickey or Mickey. But this track is probably the best example of this sort of murky, danceable crossroads. This track comes across, you know, like a walk through a dance club in in the future of, you know, I don't know, a film like Blade Runner or something. But and then tracks like the track Safe and also the album closer, which is called Too Sweet, highlight Wayman's knack for balancing, you know, these body moving beats with loose, organic sounding instrumentation that fills in so many little pockets and corners of the songs with subtlety, making for, you know, an immersive listening experience. At the end of the day, you know, I can't deny that I had hoped for something a bit less reminiscent of Warpaint. And while the material here on Love Laws is solid, I'm hoping that Wayman takes some more risks on her next outing, whenever that comes. You know, so far, as an integral piece of the Warpaint puzzle, she has been very consistent in adding a wealth of creative energy to, you know, the atmospheric and harmonic quality of that band. She deserves to, you know, have the free range to go wherever her musical path leads her. So I gave the album Love Laws a rating of 7.5 out of 10. All right, so moving on to the final record I'd like to talk about today and my personal pick for this episode. It is the record from the post-punk band Photo Crime. That's F-O-T-O, Crime. And the album is called Principle of Pain. Okay, and that was a sample of the song The Rose and the Thorn. All right, so Louisville, Kentucky's Ryan Patterson. That's a great first name, isn't it? Who's formerly of the punk band Coliseum, has rebranded himself with a new band, the post-punk band Photo Crime. Now, if anybody out there listening has been a fan of Coliseum's work, you'll know that this metamorphosis comes really as no surprise and, in fact, seemed to be on the horizon for some time. Now, Patterson and Coliseum slugged it out in the hardcore punk underground for over 10 years, releasing 5 full-length records and a handful of EPs and also some splits with bands like High on Fire and Baroness. Now, for much of Coliseum's career, you know, they dealt in wild abandon and controlled chaos, you know, common elements of hardcore punk. However, in retrospect, it's not hard to see the beginnings of what would become Photo Crime back in, like, 2010 on Coliseum's third record, which was called House with a Curse. Patterson and the band began to place more emphasis on melody in both the guitar attack and the vocals on that record, and this development was only heightened on follow-up records, Sister Faith, which was released in 2013, and Coliseum's final album, which was called Anxiety's Kiss, which came out in 2015. You know, it's startling, in fact, to listen to the difference between, you know, the band's self-titled debut and then Anxiety's Kiss. So while, you know, I wasn't happy to hear that Coliseum had called it quits, the news that Patterson had formed a new project in the post-punk slash darkwave vein made me very excited. Early descriptions of Photo Crime painted the band's sound as one of, you know, film noir and Cold War paranoia. I was sold before I heard 1 second of this new project, and the 2 EPs that Patterson released before announcing this full-length, Principle of Pain, the EPs were called Always Night and Always Hell. They did not disappoint me at all. Appropriately enough, Tracks like Always Hell, Plate Glass Eyes, and Duplicate Days, you know, sounded much like material that was on Anxiety's Kiss, but now Patterson sounded as if he had really taken full control of this sound, you know, liberated from any creative tension his newfound musical aspirations, you know, had caused in Coliseum, you know, which he had just been part of for so long. Now, in all honesty, when I first listened to Principle of Pain, I felt sort of underwhelmed, due in part to its brevity. You know, it's about 38 minutes long, and in part because I had expected more deviation from the sound that was established on Always Hell and Always Night. But what I realized after multiple listens, however, is that I really needed to adjust to the sound of Patterson and Company, you know, being in complete control of the sound. You know, if Coliseum was about abandon and raw emotion, Photocrime is more methodical, though no less emotional. It's really startling to see an artist shift gears and come out sounding so fully formed, you know, on a debut record. The driving opening track, which is called Nadia, allows, you know, the synths and the glistening guitars and a real no-nonsense bass line to each have enough room to breathe. And Patterson's newfound, you know, croon, if you will, which to me has just enough Coliseum-era gruffness to keep it compelling and unique, you know, just weaves in and out of the mix on this track, and it never oversteps its bounds. Patterson is a vocalist who knows how to use his range in the most effective manner possible, and he succeeds just all over this record. It's these vocals that represent the connective tissue of the record, as the band display a knack for, you know, memorable dark wave tracks like Love in a Dark Time and The Rose and the Thorn, which you heard a sample of, and then tracks like Gods in the Dark and Confusing World combine, you know, groove heavy electro with, you know, choruses that to me are reminiscent of 80s post-punk icons Tears for Fears. And then tracks like Auto Noir and Infinite Hunger for Love find the band using clean guitars more prominently, especially Auto Noir, you know, while the closing track, which is called The Soft Skin, really allows the electronics to hold sway. And it gives the end of the record a different feel than its opening, though it's no less inspiring. Now, lyrically, Patterson has not given up his passion for socially conscious themes, though the approach is naturally subtler than, you know, the starkness of the lyrics in a lot of Coliseum's material. You know, so, you know, misogyny and life as a traveling musician and the strain it puts on personal relationships, even the inevitable collapse of societal tropes like patriarchy, you know, come through pretty strongly on this record, if not as harshly, in the sort of thundercloud rumble of Patterson's voice. When he sings, "If youth is the disease, then love is the symptom," on a track called Don't Pity the Young, the song becomes both a rallying cry for mistreated and misjudged youth, and a solid metaphor for Patterson's rebirth in this very vital new form. Now, you know, some will feel, after they listen to this record, left with a desire for more variety, you know, and I certainly did upon my first listen to the record, but, you know, Principle of Pain is an album that will reveal its secrets to a listener over time. And the feeling that I come away with now after the closing track fades out is one of just excitement for, you know, what the band will come up with next. It really seems like the sky is the limit for Photocrime, and I'm very, very glad that Ryan Patterson found an outlet for the creative energy that he felt like he couldn't quite release anymore in Coliseum. So I gave the record Principle of Pain a rating of 8 out of 10. And that concludes my reviews for today. make sure anybody who's listening to this podcast, wherever you are out there around the globe, if you are not a member of the Radio Live Transmission Facebook community, please go on Facebook and find us. Search Radio Live Transmission, just as it appears in the podcast title, and get on there. Send a friend request and get on there, get posting. Because I love variety, and it needs a little bit more variety, I think. As much as I love all the stuff that's being posted on there, I think we need a little bit more variety. But catch up with me next time around for episode 33, which is going to be a pretty crazy episode. I'm sort of combining two episodes that I had in mind just because so much new stuff that I was interested in reviewing came out. So episode 33 is going to have reviews of new releases from Graveyard, Churches, Jonathan Davis, Ghost, and Father John Misty, as well as shorter reviews of some new EPs that have come out from Black Thought and Ninth Wonder, Kanye West, and also Jenny Haval. So, all right, well, that concludes episode 32 of the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. Once again, my name is Ryan. I'm your host. Thank you guys so very, very much for listening, and I will catch you next time around. Have a good night. Signing off.